Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Everyday Black History. Oh, we made it to the end of the week, and happy Friday to everyone out there. I mean, I know now, I don't know about you, but, you know, we've been bogged down with reports about coronavirus and the spread of coronavirus, and, you know, it's pretty crazy, you know, and I'm only, you know, 36, but in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like this. And we've had plenty of pandemics or outbreaks happen, the Ebola, Zika, and SARS, swine flu, and bird flu, and all that other stuff. But, you know, we've never seen anything like this. So before we get started on this episode, just wanted to, you know, tell everybody just, you know, stay healthy, you know, stay safe. But they say, wash your hands. Well, you know, we should always have been washing our hands. But, you know, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. And just keep an eye out for the elderly and, you know, and those that are most vulnerable. But, you know, just try not to let the panic and hysteria get to you. Because, you know, it's really wild out there with, you know, what we're seeing on the news with the spread of it. And, you know, people in the stores hoarding and they're fighting, and it's just a lot of craziness. Sometimes it's just good to turn off the TV, turn away from it, but, you know, be careful and just, you know, good hygiene. And, you know, it's also cold and flu season and allergy season. I'm got a little allergies going on right now from the pollen that's happening. So it's a crazy time, but as they say, we'll get through it together. Just, you know, make sure your older ones are all right, and what we could do is wash our hands and just practice good hygiene, and hopefully we'll get through it without getting any infections. But just wanted to preface the episode with that. And, you know, every week it seems to get more and more intense. So we made it through another week, and hopefully this thing will die down soon and we can, you know, kind of, you know, resort back to some normalcy. But these first few months of 2020 have been pretty wild, you know. But, you know, as we're just going to continue to talk about Black history. That's because that's what we do here. But I just want to remind everybody to stay safe, and hopefully everybody will just stay healthy. So today on Everyday Black History, and as we continue through Women's History Month, we're going to highlight another sister who has done, you know, major things in the world of math and science. And she was also highlighted in the book and movie Hidden Figures. We're going to be highlighting Dorothy Vaughan. And Dorothy Vaughan, she was played by Octavia Spencer in the movie. But she, you know, was a brilliant mind for NASA. And she was one of the human computers that was used for space travel during the 40s, 50s, 60s. And it was because of her work and the women who worked under her that these trajectories patterns were able to be figured out, because back in those days, they didn't have machine computers. They actually used human computers to figure out all these numbers. And so she was a mathematician. She was a teacher. I mean, she, you know, wore so many hats and was an inspiration to so many women in science because of her work. She was the acting supervisor of what was called the West Area Computers. And West Area Computers was the West Area in Langley Research Center, where all the black women worked, because it was in the West Area of the laboratory. So, you know, she was the acting head, and she was the first African-American woman to supervise a group of staff at the center. She worked for NASA for almost three decades. But let's get into a little bit of background information on her. She was born September 20th, 1910 in Kansas, Missouri. And her family moved to West Virginia when she was young. And she graduated from high school there in West Virginia in 1925. And she was the class valedictorian. And because of her good grades, she was able to receive a full scholarship. And the scholarship that she was given was sponsored through the church, the AME Church Sunday School Convention, the West Virginia Conference of the AME Sunday School Convention. She got a full scholarship through that. And she attended Wilberforce University, which is one of the oldest HBCUs, historically black college universities, in the country. And it's located in Wilberforce, Ohio. She went there, graduated in 1929 with a BA in mathematics. And a couple of years later, she married, she was born Dorothy Johnson. And in 1932, she married Howard Vaughn, which, you know, she got her name from. And they moved to Newport News, Virginia, and they had six children. And Howard Vaughn, you know, he came from a wealthy and respected family. So the family lived on his family's property. And she graduated from college and had a family. And, you know, she was able to move in with his family on their land. And she was a teacher in mathematics before she even came to NASA. And she taught for many years, as a matter of fact. She taught for many years in NASA. She taught for many years in high school, as a mathematics teacher, Robert Roosa Moulton High School in Farmville, Virginia. And she taught there for 14 years, teaching at public schools and other facilities during the Jim Crow South in Virginia. And then it wasn't until 1943 when she began her career with what became NASA. The predecessor to NASA was the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics. And she started as she worked there and NASA as a mathematician and a programmer. And she worked at the Langley Research Center. And the Langley Research Center specialized in calculations for flight paths, computer programming, and what was called the Scout Project. And she started there it was during the height of World War II in 1943. And she came there just thinking that it would be a temporary war job. A lot of, women filled up positions that, you know, men left vacant because they went to fight in the war. And they, you know... And because of the war in 1941, the president at the time, Franklin D. Roosevelt, signed two executive orders. One was to desegregate the defense industry, and the other was to end racial segregation and discrimination in hiring and promotion amongst federal agencies and defense contractors. So this allowed more people to be hired in government jobs, federal agencies, defense contractors. It was to help ensure that the war effort drew from all of American society. And as I just said, you know, since so many men were being swept into service, there were a lot of women who were hired and recruited for different jobs, and including, you know, women of color, black women, to support war production in different industries, most of which was airplanes. It was thought at the time that the war would be won in the air, so the production of airplanes went into full effect. And NACA, the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics, began hiring more black women to meet the drastic increase in demand for processing aeronautical research data. So, you know, women like Dorothy Vaughn and many of the other women, Katherine Jackson, many of the other hidden figures who we didn't know about until recently, they were recruited during this time. There was a great demand for engineers, mathematicians, craftsmen, and skilled tradesmen. Now, NASA, or NACA at the time, in 1935, had established a section of women mathematicians who would perform complex calculations. And so when she started working in 1943, it was already in full effect. They had different areas. The east area was where the white women were, and the west area was where the black women were. Because of Jim Crow, it was segregated. The west area computing was a segregated unit, which consisted only of black women. And unfortunately, because it was during Jim Crow times, there were separate dining and bathroom facilities. And, it was that whole environment, you know, in the workforce, which was commonplace at the time. The West Area Computing, where the black women were, made complex mathematical calculations by hand. which they use the tools of the time, but which is basically their brains. And they made contributions to every area of research at Langley. Their work was so, you know, well regarded that it expanded in the post-war years to support research and design for the U.S. space program, which we know. And JFK, President JFK, at the John F. Kennedy at the time, you know, it was this race to space. They were trying to beat the Russians, race to the moon. And so, you know, the West Area Computing did so well that they, you know, after the war was over, they started to use them for the space program and for space flight. And Dorothy Vaughan was assigned as the acting head of West Area Computers after the white woman who was in charge died. And she was the first black supervisor at NACA, National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics. And she was one of the of a few female supervisors there, not just black women. And she, you know, as we mentioned, West Area Computing was entirely African-American women mathematicians. And she was later promoted to the position officially as a supervisor. And she worked hard to get opportunities for women in West computing, as well as women in other departments as well, because they've already proven that they were worthy of getting better jobs and better promotions by their work during the war and during the race to space. Now, she was able to see that machine computers were going to be the future, so she began learning programming, computer programming, teaching herself. And once she learned it, then she began to teach others the concepts to prepare them for the transition. Now, Katherine Johnson, who was a mathematician as well, one of the hidden figures as well, was assigned to her group at first before she was transferred to another group, another division. And the other women that were dramatized in the movie, Hidden Figures, they all worked under Dorothy Vaughan. And she moved into the area, Dorothy Vaughan moved into the area of electronic computing in 1961 after the first digital computer was introduced to the center. And as I mentioned, she became proficient in computer programming and was able to teach it to others to help them to continue to be useful, you know, and to prepare for that transition. Because, you know, once that digital computer came to existence, you know that it was going to spread, as we know. I mean, computers became a way of life over the years, starting back in the 60s. And she also contributed to the space program through her work on a Scout Launch Vehicle program. So, and when NACA became NASA in 1958, she continued to work there. And when NACA became NASA, segregated facilities were abolished. So the East Area Computing and West Area Computing then began to work together. And they, you know, worked well together. There was no issues, there was no beef, they worked very well together. And, you know, she talked about how, you know, working at Langley during the space race was being on the cutting edge of something exciting. And, you know, she said, you know, when asked about what it was like being an African-American woman during that time, she said, "I changed what I could, and what I couldn't, I endured." So she, you know, was a symbol of strength. And, you know, I just want to remind you that she did all this, these amazing accomplishments at work while raising 6 children with her husband at home. So, you know, when you think about the idea of a superwoman, Dorothy Vaughan, you know, fits that bill. You can imagine 6 children at home and you dealing with Jim Crow segregation at work, but you're also solving complex math problems and, you know, dealing with space and space travel. Like, it's insane the fact that she was able to, you know, do it all. But she did. And she worked for Langley, you know, for 28 years, you know, accomplishing so much during her career there. I mean, you know, women like her made space travel possible. And for so many years, no one knew. But Dorothy Vaughan retired from NASA in 1971 at the age of 61. And, you know, she lived a long life, you know, and after she retired, you know, she, you know, lived pretty much a quiet a quiet life after that. She died on November 10th, 2008, at the age of 98. So, you know, she lived a long life, as we mentioned, and, you know, got to see her kids and grandkids and all of them grow up, and knowing that she contributed so much to American history, Black history, you know, space travel, you know, the race to the space and the race to the moon, you know, she played a huge part of that. You know, as a matter of fact, if she wasn't a part of it, it wouldn't have even been possible. She was awarded and honored throughout her career, not as much as she should have, but, you know, she was recognized for her work over, you know, later on in life, unfortunately after she died, which, you know, is commonplace for Black men and women who've accomplished a lot throughout history during the, you know, 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries. But, you know, we just wanted to highlight her today on Everyday Black History and for her accomplishments, because what she accomplished was indeed amazing. So, as we conclude this episode, Dorothy Vaughan, we just wanted to celebrate you and thank you for your contribution to Black history and Black culture, and we salute you. And that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. So just want to remind everyone again just to stay safe and stay healthy, and stay tuned for the next episode.